Good morning and welcome and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers who are with us or listening this morning. Just really one announcement, noticing that today we're going back to communion with a table on each side. So masks obviously are not required, but wear one as you are comfortable. If you so want to wear one, that is your choice. We'll begin over here with those in the front pew on the first side, and while we're communing the front pew over here, we'll have the pulpit side fill in and commune this side. As we're communing this side will fill in, and we'll just continue in that way. As always, remember that if you are not yet confirmed or not yet a member of Zion, and you do come forward, please cross your arms over your chest so I know to give you a blessing. Especially if you're junior high age and a visitor, and it's hard to tell sometimes on that. You wouldn't think it would be confusing because we've done this our whole lives, but as we go through, I may forget to dismiss a table as I come through with a common cup and finish. I may get a little ahead of myself and move right over to the other side. If I do forget to dismiss the table, just go up the side aisle, and so a lot of pressure on that person who's the first one closest to the wall, right there this morning. So, let's begin this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the June 20th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this morning's broadcast are Ken Richards, Steve Sauer, and Casey Jones. Donald and Marilyn Clockingay are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thanksgiving for 67 years of marriage. And Donald and Marilyn Clockingay are also sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for those 67 years of marriage. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is 819, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good. Hymn 819 is found in the Lutheran service book.
Thank you.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord who has not given us a prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Job, the 38th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out a line upon it? On what basis were it sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth out of the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther. Here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A catechetical review. In regard to the Apostles' Creed, what is the third article?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 6, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. "Working together with Him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in any way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and as yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children. Widen your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 718, "Jesus, Lead Thou On," hymn 718, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text this morning from the Gospel of St. Mark. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Right up front, first and foremost, who is Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of Mary, is God in the flesh. That is exactly who he is. Now let's think about Job, that Old Testament reading that we had today. When God speaks to Job, God speaks very clearly about the seas. "Where were you?" asked the Almighty God. "Where were you when I shut the sea in with doors as it burst forth from the womb of creation? Were you there when I put its bars and its doors in place, when I wrapped the clouds around it as swaddling cloths and prescribed limits for it and said to the sea, 'This far you shall come and no farther. Here are where your proud waves halt.'" It was a question asked to Job. And when God is speaking at that moment out of the whirlwind, he is referring right back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And it was good. And so what did God do? God spoke, and he controlled the elements. They obeyed his very word and his very language. What does Jesus do? Jesus speaks, and he controls the elements. He controls the wind and the waves. He stills the waves and he muzzles the wind. So in our gospel text, what do we see Jesus doing? We see Jesus exercising divine authority over the creation, divine authority over chaos and all of the elements. And he does this after his disciples cry out to him. We see somewhat of the same thing in the reading from the book of Job that we have for us this morning. In chapter 38 of Job, who is doing the talking? It's God who's doing the talking. And why is God doing the talking? Why does God appear to Job? Why does God show up in a whirlwind and speak out of the whirlwind? Why? Because Job, in his frustration, had asked God to show up. Job had wanted God to come down so that Job could question God and protest his own innocence to God. Job wanted God to explain to him why he was suffering in the way that he was suffering and why he was enduring what it was he was enduring. And he wanted to know very clearly why God was doing what God was doing. So God comes down to answer him. But the answer is not what Job would have expected. The answer is roughly along the lines of, "Job, you don't have any idea what you're talking about." Now, God did permit Job to suffer, but God was not acting in a capricious or arbitrary way. Instead, God was acting in line with the plan that he deemed to be good. Job simply did not have a proper understanding of God's motives. So in his own wisdom, Job was led to question God. God says absolutely nothing about Job's suffering, nor does God answer Job's questions on divine justice. We find there by the end of Job, though, that God's words ultimately succeed in bringing Job back to faith in the goodness of God. With the hidden contest against the accuser, because remember, that's how it started. Satan was accusing God's people before the throne of God. "Have you considered my servant Job?" That contest is now over. With that contest being over, Job at the end of the book is restored. Job, we find, is not a pawn in a cosmic game, though. He is rather, maybe we should understand him as a soldier in the army of the Lord, and the battle is now ended, and Job is given his rest. We find through Job that God does not allow us to suffer for no reason at all. And even though it is veiled to us, and we cannot always understand why we suffer the things that we do suffer, and we do not always see the divine purposes in it, and we may never know anything about it even in this life, we must trust in Him as the God who is good and who does for humanity what is right. In Jesus' disciples, so we had that type of crying out, Job crying out, "Why, Lord, why?" In Jesus' disciples, we see another sort of crying out, a crying out of fear. "Jesus, get up and take care of things. Don't you care that we are perishing?" The disciples really were afraid of dying there on the sea. And what did they know of Jesus? What did they understand about Jesus? Clearly, they had seen Him cast out demons. They had seen Him do miracles. Clearly, they understood something about Jesus. Jesus was other than they were. How much other than they were, they is not made clear to us. But they did have this kind of understanding of the Lord. They did have some form of faith in Jesus. And where do we find Jesus? He's in the back of the boat. He's sacked out. He is exhausted. He is sleeping the sleep of exhaustion. He is a true man, after all. And while Jesus is asleep, the storm comes up on the sea, water comes flowing over the boat, and the terror of drowning becomes very real. The disciples believe Jesus can help. They wake Him up. What is Jesus' reaction to their terror, their fear, and their crying out? Jesus' reaction is to do godly things. To do the things that only God can do. He controls chaos, and He exerts His authority over the elements. "Be quiet, be muzzled, get still." And at His word, the wind and the waves obey Him. In this He shows that He is the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who controls nature, including the wind and the sea. A university professor, Joel Marcus, who has written a translation and a commentary on Mark, writes this. I thought it was a very perceptive comment. In our passage, faith seems to have two aspects. On the one hand, faith is a trust like Jesus, a basic confidence in God's providential care. Just like Jesus shows us by sleeping through the storm. On the other hand, faith is also a trust in Jesus. By the end of the passage, faith has come to mean a perception of Jesus' cosmic stature and the following conviction that nothing bad can ultimately happen to the person who is with Him. We see a movement here in this section of the Gospel of St. Mark, from Jesus as an example of faith to Jesus as the object of faith. Jesus as and His atoning work on our behalf, that is the object of your faith, of my faith, of our faith. But we see in our texts for today two types of questioning God. Now, I think I feel and I act this way quite a bit. I'm often like Job, seeking an answer from God, an answer to suffering. I mean, not a lot. As I've said before, I'm usually more self-centered and self-absorbed than that. I'm generally hung up on my own inability to live as a Christian ought to live, and I'm infinitely concerned with being forgiven of my own sins, and often to the point where I'm hoping that I'm never punished for them. However, on those rare occasions when I can get my face out of the mirror, there are times when I do wonder about God. I think I can certainly wrap my head around wickedness and wars and bloodshed as activities of Satan. However, I've often questioned God's management of creation in things that are clearly His idea. Things like marriage and family. Why are they so hard? And I want to say to God, "God, they're your idea, not ours. So why can they be so difficult so often? Now please notice that on purpose I am using I here. I think this. This is what I think. It's a bit precarious to presume, I believe, in these instances that you all think exactly like I think, because you don't. I don't know what is inside of your head. I only know what is inside of my mind and on my heart and what impacts my faith life. And the guess is that these struggles are at least representative of a segment of the population. Now, having said that, it is absolutely true that there are times when I am befuddled and perplexed that what God has ordained as good is such a challenge to us. I don't know, like babies, for instance. God ordained creation in such a way that a husband and wife would come together, they would become one flesh, and their union would bear fruit. They would bear children. So why are there people who cannot declare that a woman has a human child in her womb? And they cannot say that from the moment of conception there is a child growing there. Why are they so blind? Why have they become so blind? And why can they not see and understand the obvious? And why doesn't God do something about that? Why is the human race no better than it is? And sometimes, just sometimes, the book answer of, well, there's sin in the world. That just isn't good enough. And that's when I realized just how close to the line of blasphemy I have come. That on the other hand, there are times when I have a reaction like Jesus' disciples, one of terror and one of fear. And I want to cry out, Jesus, get up and do something about the situation. Get up and take care of things just like you did on the sea. Tell my nerves to stop speaking. And order my anxiety to be quiet. Well, what do we say to all of this? All of this crying out. Well, first of all, let's point out the generosity of our God. He does not berate Job. He does not belittle Job. He does not humiliate him or condemn him. Neither does God the Son berate or humiliate his disciples. Because the actions of God are intended to bring about and to strengthen our faith. Faith in the plans and the purposes of God. Faith that our God, no matter what, has our best interests at heart. And that ultimately his plans are good. Neither does the Father nor the Son humiliate you or berate you. And through Holy Spirit-inspired faith, we can live with the ups and the downs. Isn't that what St. Paul is writing in his letter to the Corinthians? Did you catch everything that Paul was living through? You know, the ups and downs of his life. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings and imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Do you think Paul could have said, you chose me. You picked me on that road to Damascus. So why isn't this preaching thing a little easier? And why is there so much opposition? And Paul goes on to say, impurity and knowledge, patience and kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as if we are imposters, and yet we are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. The Christian life, there it is. Your life, there it is. Yes, you and I and all of us can live with the ups and the downs of life. Sometimes question and sometimes fears, in all of these things, we can still have confidence that God the Father has indeed done what is best for each and every one of us. And we know that ultimately God the Son carried it out on the cross, and that those in Christ, whether in this life or in the next, will ultimately be given all good things. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all rise for prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for being patient when we do not understand your ways, and for being kind and generous when we are fearful that you have forgotten about us. Keep us, through the work of your Holy Spirit, ever trusting in your goodness and confident in your mercy that in Christ all things will work to the good of those who love you. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for those who are sick and desiring your healing word upon them. Please grant unto Bob Presswood restoration and rest in the hospital as he may bring him home from the hospital. We pray that you would return him to full health. We also ask that Janet Estill's friend, Sandy Blaine, be granted the grace to endure her ailments, asking that you would grant health unto Sandy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to regard our Creator not as a distant God, but to recognize him as Father, grant your grace to the fathers who are in our midst, that they be forgiven their failures, strengthened in their faith, and grow to be a reflection of our Heavenly Father, so that their children would be led to a closer walk with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the joy and blessings you have granted to Don and Marilyn Clockingay as they today, this day, celebrate their 67th wedding anniversary. This day, Don and Marilyn, thank you for the grace and blessings that you have bestowed upon them throughout their lives together. Grant that they continue to be an example to their family of marital love and devotion, that as they ever honor their wedding vows, Don and Marilyn would grow in love towards you and towards one another, and come at last to the great wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., and also on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning the school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Let us rise. True body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 715, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, hymn 715 in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Just a couple things this morning. Check your Zion's Light for all of the activities and announcements here at Zion Lutheran Church. Remember, we have adult Bible class together still in the auditorium. Mr. Stoltenberg and Mrs. Thompson have college and high school combined up in the youth room. So if you're in that age bracket, please stop
there. They're going over the book, what it means to be a Lutheran, I believe. So that's some interesting discussions up there. I forgot this morning and yesterday and a couple times this week that there are more of the yard signs in the church office. So once I get changed, I'm going to go unlock that door, and I'm going to bring them up to where the VBS stuff is. So if you would like a yard sign and didn't get one when they were passing them out earlier, they'll be up there in between services. And lastly, it was, let me think, 8-ish, 5, 6, I don't know how many, somewhere between 6 and 8 years ago that Heather Heidbreder trepidatiously sat down at the organ and played one little piece during the service, and she played the whole service today. So thank you, Heather. We appreciate that very, very much. And may the Lord bless all of you, especially Don and Marilyn on their 67th wedding anniversary, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.